perspective and process inside of an organization has been proven to lead to the very best possible outcomes, not just in terms of acquiring new business, but across every facet of it, because you don't ever want to lose sight of your existing customer base. They're going to be the most valuable. You want to keep them, but you want to grow them. And ABM is a great way to do that.
I'm Jonathan Gandolf, and welcome to the Content Cocktail Hour, powered by The Juice. Our mission is to squeeze out the deepest secrets of B2B marketing professionals to help you push your brand to the forefront of the industry. Let's raise the glass. Welcome back to the Content Cocktail Hour. Jonathan here from The Juice, founder and CEO and host of today's episode. I am thrilled to be joined by Vincent DeCastro, president of ABM Agency. I've had an interesting journey personally with ABM. I'm a big fan of ABM. I think it means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. We're going to dig into all of that today. But before we do that, Vincent, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, and kind of your path to starting ABMA?
Sure, that'd be great. And thanks for having me, Jonathan. Really appreciate it. As Jonathan mentioned, I'm Vincent DeCastro, president and founder here at the ABM Agency. I've been in digital marketing for over 20 years. My kind of start into the industry was in SEO and PPC. So we did start as a traditional digital marketing agency back in 2009. And then in 2016, we moved into just strictly B2B. And then about a year later, found our way into just, you know, deep roots in ABM. And so, you know, we haven't looked back. We still use some of our traditional digital marketing expertise in ABM. It can be really, really useful when you talk about like one to many, and even in some instances into one to few. So we'll get into that in a minute. I'm excited to chat and talk a little bit, well, a lot more about ABM.
Awesome. Well, thanks for that. Yeah, I'm excited. It sounds like a very like kind of, I don't know if traditional is the right word, but kind of that journey of broad digital marketing, kind of narrowing down to ABM and leaning on some of the traditional digital marketing tactics. So excited to dig into all of that. Vincent, this is the Content Cocktail Hour. We always like breaking the ice, no pun intended. Asking our guests, what are they enjoying drinking nowadays?
My favorite drink at the moment is Topo Chico. So I'm a huge fan. I've always been a fan of, well, seltzer water back when I was a kid. So I'm a little bit older. And then, you know, moving into sparkling water. And I had been a huge fan of San Pellegrino for a while. As my name indicates, I'm Italian. But a friend of mine about 6 months ago just continually recommended Topo Chico. And I was like, all right, I'll give it a shot. It is by far the best sparkling water I've ever had. They actually add carbonation to it. So they have carbonation at the source, and then they add additional carbonation to the drink when they bottle it. And it's pretty awesome.
Are you just straight Topo Chico? Do you like the twist of lime? Do you mix it up at all?
Right out of the bottle. No ice, no twist, no anything. Just right out of the bottle.
Love it. Straight. Very cool. I'm a big Topo Chico fan myself. I'm actually going to be in Austin next week. And, you know, looking forward to finding some Topo Chico down there. Well, cool. Well, let's dig into ABM. I shared with you, and I think I've maybe even talked about it on this podcast before, but I've got a little bit of a funny personal anecdote with ABM. I started my career in B2B marketing, SaaS marketing. I left that space to go B2C for 3 or 4 years. And it was like the exact same time that ABM really became commonly adopted, let's call it, or really the rise of ABM. Then I came back into B2B software, and the marketing team that I joined and ended up leading. I remember they were talking about ABM. And I was like, man, I know B2B SaaS loves an acronym, but what is this ABM thing? I had a trusted colleague on the team. I sat down with them. I was like, please tell me, like, I'm not an idiot. Like, what is this? And it was interesting because what she described to me was basically just gifting, you know, top accounts, key accounts. I was kind of like, we've been doing direct mail for a while. That doesn't really feel like anything like revolutionary to me. I appreciate the new acronym for it. But then, you know, she mentioned that eventually we could layer on advertising or targeting, so some digital tactics on top of it. And I kind of looked at her, I was like, are we just talking about marketing here? Like, it really just felt like they had like taken a few different tactics and really like been doing good marketing and calling it ABM. So, you know, maybe not a specific question in there, but I think oftentimes ABM maybe starts or gets most tactically thought of as gifting, but it is so much more than that when it's done well. What's your perspective on kind of this rise of ABM and where the ABM space currently is?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think, you know, as you've seen a lot more technology get incorporated into ABM, things have changed significantly. And so you talk about platforms like Demandbase, Sixth Sense, gifting platforms that are out there. And there's a ton of other things like PathFactory, which, you know, they just purchased Uberflip. When I think about what ABM truly is, you know, I consider those lower funnel tactics, one to few or one to one. That's what I consider to be ABM. And the way I explain it to folks is that it's really what a very good account executive would do if they had all the time, energy, and resources in the world to do it. All we're trying to do is be a part of the sales process. And when you think about ABM is a great fit when you're targeting enterprise organizations, when you have a large contract value and you're going after enterprise. So you've got a number of people in the buying committee. It could be, you know, 10, 15, 20 or more people with different roles and responsibilities in the buying committee. So you don't send a one size fits all message to all of those people, right? And so an account executive would not do that. They would map out the buying committee, the org chart. They'd see who's connected to whom, who they have relationships with, who they have to influence to educate. And then they would send out messaging to those people based on what their concerns are. They'd figure out what their pain points are, and then they would line that up with the value propositions from whatever they're selling. So that's essentially what ABM is from our perspective. That's our day-to-day operational model is really built around that philosophy.
I love that. And you mentioned lower funnel there. And I think that's maybe a misconception, or maybe it's my own kind of personal bias. But I think a lot of times people think of it as a top of funnel tactic. Can it be an effective top of funnel tactic? Or do you really think it's just for that mid, lower funnel, one to few, or truly one to one?
Yeah, ultimately, the best performing campaigns are full funnel. So that would mean top of funnel. That would mean one to many or demand gen. And I kind of use those terms interchangeably for the most part. The key component, though, is to identify when is an account looking like they're in market. So that's one of the pieces that ABM brings to the table that's different from traditional B2B marketing, is the ability to see, you know, from the start, from the awareness level, top of the funnel, when is an account starting to interact? When are more people from that account starting to interact? When do I move them into a one to few? And then really what we're looking to see are, what are the in-market indicators? When does an account look like it's sales ready? And then that moves them into a one to one. So that's the ideal situation, is that you take your total addressable market or your TAM, and it might be, you know, 500 accounts or 1,000 accounts. You map that out. You're serving up the messaging to those people across, you know, multiple channels. So you're using things like programmatic or display advertising. You probably should be using paid search. You are probably using things like marketing automation or email, LinkedIn, et cetera. So you're kind of taking that surround type of process with digital channels to make them aware of you, to educate them on the value of your product that you're selling. And then you're looking for the digital footprint or the signals that say, hey, they're engaging, right? That's what this stuff is intended to do. And ultimately, our process leads to a dashboard that lets sales reps know, out of your 50 accounts, which 3 or 4 or 5 look like they're in market and ready to be sold to. So you're not, you know, just throwing stuff against the wall to see if any of it sticks. You're getting leads in the form of people requesting information, but you're also looking out for those signals that they're in market and they're ready to be sold to. So then you can become a lot more efficient with your time as a sales rep, right? And that's, I think, key to this whole thing, is making sure that you're applying your energy and your resources in the most appropriate direction.
Well, and I love your analogy. I'm going to steal it. I'll credit you when I use it. But the idea of ABM is just, you know, untethered by reality, what a AE would be doing with their time, energy, effort, and resources, right? Like, I think that's so good. And I you mentioned there in that last kind of answer, you know, the target account list, 500 to 1,000. Is that kind of the sweet spot? I know it's probably dependent on contract size, market size, et cetera. But, you know, we at The Juice, we can help our customers target their target account list. And occasionally we'll run a target account list match for them from our user base. And I always kind of chuckle because we'll get target account lists with 10,000 people on it, 8,000 people on it. And I'm like, how targeted are we really being with a list of 10,000 plus folks on it? Do you have any like tactical advice on how to build that target account list to start to build your ABM program?
It really just needs to align with the needs of the business. Like, what are your business goals? What is it you're trying to achieve in terms of revenue, and using that as a starting point? And so I think, you know, the old days of just kind of developing this really broad-based ICP are hopefully behind us. That is not the path forward that we recommend. And our process is a lot more granular, and it has to do with different styles of campaigns. So are you trying to run an expansion campaign within existing customers or past customers, for instance? And then from there, you want to segment it by the different revenue bands. So, you know, you might have enterprise or strategic, then you might have mid-market, and you might have large somewhere in there as well. And the tactics you use for each of those is going to be a little bit different, just because the expected outcome is going to be different contract sizes. Yeah. So, you know, rather than to say, hey, you know, we need this number of accounts, we like to start with a formula and then back into how many accounts does that result in. And I think that's the best approach, the best formula, because it shouldn't be an anticipated outcome. I think you're kind of poisoning the well when you say, okay, I need 1,000 accounts. Well, if my formula presents me with 374 accounts, I don't need to try and accumulate more accounts to round out that number. That should be my total addressable market, or my target account list, is really just based on the data and the numbers. What we know is reverse engineering from your sales process is going to be the best way to get to that. So, you know, you need this much revenue for 2025. That means you need this much pipeline. That means you need this many opportunities in your pipeline. And then you can back it up from there.
I love that reverse engineering. I think that's really subtle, but very important. You know, you shouldn't go into your target account list building saying, we need 1,000 accounts, right? Like, that is going to lead to finding it.
You'll get 1,000 accounts.
Exactly.
Right. But, you know, how many of them are actually good targets at the end of the day? And I think the other nuance there is, like, you know, do you want to do business with all 1,000 of those accounts?
Yeah.
You know, and when you get into the sales side of ABM or account-based, you start to realize that not all of these targets are people you want to work with.
Yeah.
There might be reasons why you want to exclude certain types of accounts. You know, maybe they present challenges at contracting, or, you know, if it's a manufacturing company, maybe they have issues with formulation using, you know, your additive or whatever the case is. But thinking through, you know, it's not just a marketing motion, it's a full like revenue cycle motion. And you want to make sure that the needs of the business are what we're concerned about at the end of the day.
Okay, you kind of started to answer my next question there. So I want to dig a little bit deeper, because I think we think account-based marketing inherently, at least from my maybe skewed lens, is a marketing exercise. But a lot of your answers and your perspective has come from the sales leader or the sales the AE's seat. Who should own ABM inside of an organization?
I'm glad you're bringing this up, because there shouldn't be one particular owner. And best case scenario, especially if you're talking about like enterprise, is it should be an organization-wide exercise. It really should be just an account-based process, because there's account-based marketing, there's account-based selling, customer success and customer service play a part in it. Like, everybody plays a role. And then ultimately, you want to have those executive sponsors. It's probably the CRO, it's probably the CEO who have kind of line of sight, sponsor the program. And they're the ones that have the ability to kind of drive that adoption, because it benefits the entire organization. And an account-based perspective and process inside of an organization has been proven to lead to the very best possible outcomes, not just in terms of acquiring new business, but across every facet of it, because you don't ever want to lose sight of your existing customer base. They're going to be the most valuable. You want to keep them, but you want to grow them. And ABM is a great way to do that.
I love that. I love two things there. I love the executive sponsor tactic. I've seen that work extremely well in the past. I think that's far underrated part of ABM. And then also the customer lens, I think that's really good. You know, we're not running anything super sophisticated at Juice, but, you know, we are doing some customer marketing, and you just see the return on that is so tangible and so fast and real. I think that's a really good point that account-based marketing shouldn't just be new business focused. So really appreciate that. You are the ABM agency. Maybe this is the last question I'll ask before I ask you our last question. Should ABM be an in-house exercise? Should it be always worked with an outsourced expert or consultant? Maybe the quick follow-up to that question, if a company's just getting started into ABM, how do they start that? Should they start that with a partner? Should they start that in-house?
Yeah, that's a great question. And you know, there is no one size fits all. We work with exclusively enterprise organizations, but we've also worked with some mid-market companies in the past. Everyone kind of comes to this journey from a different place. And a lot of organizations, particularly industrial manufacturing, are at the very early stages. So we have a maturity model that kind of leads you from this starting point of, you know, you're brand new to ABM all the way through to whatever your desired end state is. And it might be something like a center of excellence around ABM or a full funnel nurture model that you can deploy across the entire organization at scale. Usually it starts with a pilot campaign. And that means that, you know, you're not trying to validate that ABM works. What you're really trying to do is to create a repeatable model for a specific style of campaign. So you might start with like one to few campaigns with different segmentation, and then maybe one or two one-to-one campaigns targeted at specific strategic accounts where you're trying to grow them potentially or gain more market share within that. But we work with organizations that, you know, they might be mid-stage where they've been doing ABM for a while and they've run into some really specific challenges, and they start to look outside of the organization for organizations like us with the expertise to be able to overcome those challenges, to look down the road and say, here are the other roadblocks you're going to run into in our experience, and how do you prepare to overcome those in, you know, a very efficient manner. And then there's that late stage where they've been doing it for a while, for instance, like a ServiceNow. This is, to me, the best example. ServiceNow has been doing ABM for a very, very, very long time. And, you know, it's all relative when you talk about ABM. ABM hasn't been around for decades. It's been around for, you know, maybe 15 years in one form or fashion or another. But ServiceNow has been doing this for, I don't know, 6 years now, 5 years, and they always have an agency partner. They have very sophisticated internal approaches to it, but they also recognize that they need outside support to do this at scale. When you talk about these lower funnel types of campaigns, you absolutely will find that you're going to need support to do that stuff across the entire organization. What they do have, though, is a process that when they bring in an agency partner, they can assimilate them very quickly, and then they can deploy that support from the agency partner to very, very quickly scale whatever it is they're trying to achieve. You know, we've spoken to a number of organizations that have different managers throughout the globe for ABM. They deploy sometimes field marketing to be able to be that connective tissue between the ABM managers and the salespeople. But inside of that, there's a whole wide range of things that you'll need to be able to do that I think for an organization to have a team internally to do that would be unrealistic in terms of how much it would cost.
Yeah, that's cool. I think that's really good perspective. It sounds like every marketer's favorite answer. It depends, but it sounds like you are able to plug in at several different places and purposes in the journey. Well, Vincent, we always wrap these conversations by asking, what's an unpopular opinion you have as it pertains to B2B marketing?
Yeah, here we go. This is going to be interesting. So, and no offense to any third-party intent data providers of the world out there.
Oh, this is going to be good.
I am not a fan of third-party intent data to drive GTM. I am 100% in favor of using it as a layer of the cake. I don't like onions, so I use cake as a metaphor. And the reason is because, think of it this way, like if Amazon is my target account, and I have 11,000 intent topics or keywords, the likelihood that Amazon is quote unquote surging on all 11,000 of those topics is very, very high. Not to mention, I don't know how many hundreds of thousands of employees are there at Amazon deployed across the globe. Which one is the person who is consuming that intent topic? I don't know. So we prioritize first party intent. First party intent, absolutely the most effective way to determine is an organization in market. It's actionable. We own it, or the client owns it, and it gives us just incredible insight. Now, you know, we layer in third-party intent on the back end of our reporting to really round out the model in terms of is an account in market or sales ready. But it is, I've worked with organizations that they use it for their sales team to go to market. And that terrifies me. I'm like, well, then that means every single account that you have is probably in market for you right now. And that's not likely. That's my unpopular opinion.
I like it. I have heard repeatedly from multiple different businesses, they've purchased a third-party antenna tool. You know, a lot of times those purchases are six-figure contracts at least. Marketing team buys it, but the goal is to get sales team to use it. Marketing team passes that data to sales team. Sales team has the experience that you just referenced of like, this isn't the right person, this isn't the right thing, this isn't the right time. And the adoption between marketing and sales breaks down. And it actually ends up diminishing trust between the marketing and sales team because sales team no longer trusts the data. They don't trust any data marketing team sending them anymore. And it's really creating more friction between sales and marketing as opposed to, you know, collaboration. And I think you're right. It certainly should not lead your go-to-market efforts there. I love that layer of the cake analogy, not layer of the onion. I think that's a really good perspective. And I think like it also speaks to the type of organization that should be using it. Because I think if you're using it as a layer or as part of a bigger marketing, sales marketing program, go-to-market motion, it's a costly enough software and technology that you should price yourself out of it if it's just one layer of many other things that you're doing, as opposed to, you know, spending 50% of your sales and marketing budget on a third-party intent data tool and using that to lead your motion, I think is backwards. So I think that's a really good perspective.
We agree.
Well, Vincent, if people want to learn more about ABM from you or learn more about ABMA, what's the best way to do it?
Just go to abmagency.com. Real straightforward, simple URL. Just go to the website, get more information about what it is we do. We're updating the website right now. It should be refreshed and brand new with all new messaging, I'd say at the latest, the end of the second week in November. So yeah, go to abmagency.com. And then just send us a request for more information.
Love that. Well, like all good marketers, we don't ever love our site. So I can understand the reconstruction process there. We're doing a bit of that on our side as well. Vincent, thanks for joining us today. I learned a lot. I trust our watchers and listeners of the show learned a lot today. Until next time, cheers.
Enjoyed it. Thanks, Jonathan.
Thank you for joining the Content Cocktail Hour powered by The Juice. If you want to see more episodes or more resources curated for your role, join us on app.thejuicehq.com. See you next time. Same time, same place. Cheers.